Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 11, beginning with the first verse. And now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as the people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for some, for stone, and bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top up in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth." The word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire came and rested upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound of the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." The word of the Lord.
Friends, please stand for the reading of the gospel.
My dear friends in Christ, the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me and will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We ask that you would awaken our hearts, enlighten our hearts that we might receive the good news of the gospel again today, brand new, falling afresh on us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us too, as we look at your word today, to see life differently, to see our world through a different lens, to allow the lens of the gospel and the lens of King Jesus and his kingdom is what informs our thoughts instead of the lens of the fallen kings and kingdoms of this world. And we pray these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So today, we're, of course, celebrating again the day of Pentecost. And as we think about Pentecost, I'm sure you've, if you've been a Christian a long time, you've heard many sermons on Pentecost on this day. And but maybe you could use a different perspective or maybe a richer perspective. The way we look at things, we get richer and richer and deeper as we hear these things and celebrate these things every year. And so we want to take another fresh look at Pentecost. And in order really to understand the sort of the fullness of what's happening at Pentecost, we have to look at four other events that happen. And there are four other big events that happen in the Bible that all have to do with the temple. And the day of Pentecost is one. The first is creation. And then the second is the Tower of Babel. The third is the building of the temple in Jerusalem. And then Pentecost. And then Revelation. Where we see the temple, the new heavens and the new earth rebuilt again as heaven and earth are brought together and man dwells with God and God dwells with man. And so we might ask ourselves a question, well, I know all those things, Tim, but how do they fit together and how in the world does Pentecost fit into those things? Well, hopefully by the end of this sermon, you'll know. So the first thing we have to do is go all the way back to creation and understand what a temple is. And that God, when he created, actually created a temple. When he, in the divine counsel of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, decided to create, he created this planet, put in it all the vegetation and water and the plants and all those things that we see in the first 5 days of creation. And what he's done here is provide a dwelling place for himself and human beings together. And so after these 5 days, he says, come, let us make man in our image. And we use the plural here as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the divine council of persons of the triune Godhead say, let us make man in our image. And so he made Adam and then Eve, two persons who love one another as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are persons who love one another. And so he created them in his image, and in this world, after he creates man, he creates a special place that he calls the Garden of Eden. Not just Eden, but the Garden of Eden. And in that garden is the tree of life that represents Christ, and also the tree of death is there. And the scripture tells us that God dwells together with Adam and Eve and walks with them in the cool of the day. This means the unadulterated, unfiltered holiness of God could appear before human beings, and human beings, instead of falling down dead, enjoyed that beauty. Because without sin, we were naked and unafraid. There was nothing between us and God. We could look at him clearly in all of his glory and commune together with him in all of his glory in this garden of God. Now we have to understand the temple is the dwelling place of God. And so Eden, this garden, is the dwelling place of God where God dwells together with his humanity. And this is the temple as God is dwelling together. Well, as you know, Adam and Eve rebel against God, and so they are cast out of the first temple. They're cast out of the garden, still on the planet, but they're cast out of the garden, representative of the temple. They're cast, and in that, they're cast away from God's presence. So now there is a dividing wall between God and human beings. We are cast out east of the garden, out of the Lord's presence. And so we see the whole world then covered by a curse because the presence of God is removed in regard to his unadulterated holiness. And man is no longer able to dwell in God's presence, or it will kill him. It would kill us. And so after this, we see this division between God and man, and we see all kinds of things happen in Genesis 1 through 11. We see the flood and other things. But then close to Genesis 12, there's one last story before we get to Genesis 12 and Abraham. There's one last story, and it's the tower, what we call the Tower of Babel. Well, what is going on at the Tower of Babel? Well, Babel, first of all, means confusion. And so there is this being built here, something that has to do with confusion. There's a city of confusion. This is different than Eden. We would say that in the Garden of Eden, with dwelling together with man, is what we know from the Bible as shalom. Ever heard that word? Shalom meaning peace. We offer peace to one another before they're coming to the table. Shalom means that everything is running together as it should. Cars don't break down. Pins don't fall out of doors. Windows don't squeak. Everything is in harmony. And all relationships are in harmony. That's what the peace of God is. But now, outside of God's presence, outside of the peace of God, the shalom of God, we have chaos or confusion. And so this is the direct opposite of the Garden of Peace, the city of peace. This is a city of confusion, a city of chaos, meaning it's anti-God. It's outside of God. This is a demonic enterprise that's entered into here. And notice that the language in Babel that the people say to one another, come, let us make. When's the last time that we heard, come, let us make? So here they're entering into creation in a way to defy God's creation. They're creating themselves. And they say, come, let us make man in the image of man. Come, let us, is said of several times. Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. Come, let us build ourselves a city or a tower, if you will, a garden. Come, let us build for ourselves a tower with its top that reaches into the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And so what is happening right here is man is building his own temple. He's erecting a temple to himself where he will dwell without God. And they are all together in their hate, in their unified hatred of God. They don't want nothing to do with God. They're exalting man. They want to make a name out of themselves. It is a temple unto themselves to worship themselves. And the Lord said that they spoke the same language. And we go back into the divine council again, and we see the Lord talking among the persons of the triune Godhead. Here these people are trying to recreate Eden in their own strength. And the Lord says they are one people and one language, which basically means they are powerful. They are all working together. They're all working demonically as one. And that's powerful. But instead of being powerful for good, it's powerful for destruction. And so the Lord says, here's what the Lord decides to do. He says, if we allow this to continue, they will do evil and destroy themselves. So what God is doing here is he is going to go down here and separate these people from each other, because if they are left to themselves, they will destroy themselves. Isn't that interesting? And so what God is doing here is he's protecting people from people. He's protecting me from myself. He's protecting us from us. Indeed, we are our own worst enemy. And so God comes, basically, this is a rescue operation, because if the Lord leads them to themselves, they will destroy themselves. They have power together, and they're able to create things which will destroy themselves. Is that true today? Have we in our power created something that could destroy the planet? Yes, if fingers started hitting buttons all at the same time, we would destroy the earth. And so what keeps us from doing that? I'm convinced it's the power of the Holy Spirit restraining by the goodness of his grace to keep us from doing it. But what the Lord says here, they're all unified, they've worked together, and they're going to destroy themselves. And we see that worked out through human history even to today, so that we are capable of actually doing it. Here these people are separated from the Spirit of God. And the Lord says, we're going to confuse their language so they'll no longer be able to work together. We're going to scatter them apart to limit their destructive power. And so, if you'll think about it for a moment, as the Lord does this, he creates different languages, and everybody disperses with their own particular tribe that speaks its own particular language all throughout the earth. And so, this is where we get different ethnicities, different tribes, different peoples, different cultures, all those things. And we have to remember that this is not a judgment, this is a rescue operation. He's saving them from themselves, and so he scatters them. But being deep in their sin, we all began to do the same thing. Every tribe began to build towers, monuments to themselves. Think about it. Ancient Egypt, Pharaoh did it. Egypt made gods to themselves. Assyria did it. Babylon did it. Nebuchadnezzar did it. All throughout human history and all throughout the Old Testament, we've seen this. We've seen this picture over and over and over again, and we even see it today. Every city from that point forward was separate from the Spirit of God, building towers of power, worshiping ourselves, fighting against those who are different than ourselves, and fighting to see which people group will get to rule the top of the towers that we have created. We're like Yertle the Turtle. Anybody ever heard of that book by Dr. Seuss, Yertle the Turtle? It's a deeply theological book. It actually is. It really tells the story quite well of the Tower of Babel. Yertle the Turtle decided to create a tower unto himself. And so stepping on each, on other turtles to get to the top, Yertle ordered turtles to swim to his stone. And using these turtles, he built a new throne. And he made each turtle stand on one another's back. And he piled them all up in a 9-turtle stack. All mine, Yertle cried. Oh, the things I now rule. I'm the king of a cow. I'm the king of a mule. I imagine him being Scottish. I'm Yertle the Turtle. Oh, marvelous me. I'm the ruler of all that I see. And we all are Yertle the Turtle, stepping on one another's backs, pushing tribes underneath us, pushing people underneath us, so that we can rule from the top of the tower. And so again and again and again, the Lord disperses and scatters and keeps us scattered to limit our power. Well, later on from here, from Babel, when he scatters everybody, the Lord, in the midst of this, in Genesis 12, begins the movement of building his own city or his own dwelling place. He decides to build a dwelling place for himself. And as we move through the Old Testament, we see him first in a tabernacle and then in a temple, the temple built in Jerusalem. This is a place where God will dwell. And in the Holy of Holies, which, by the way, has a curtain dividing man from the presence of God, the unadulterated presence of God in the Holy Spirit dwelt in the Holy of Holies. And on that curtain were angels that blocked the way in, because that was the Garden of Eden. He created a little swath of the Garden of Eden, and there he dwelt among his people. And so he would gather his people to the temple in a city that he named Jerusalem. You know what Jerusalem means? Many of you do. Jerusalem means city of shalom, city of peace. And the Lord called it the city of peace, city of Salem, city of shalom, because this is where his temple was. This is where he dwelt among his people. This is where peace with God could be found. And so God rebuilt the garden in the form of a temple, and where the temple was built was called the city of peace. Is there a lot of peace in that city today? Why? Why not? Because the Holy Spirit, we learn in the Old Testament, departed from the temple because of the sinfulness of men, the sinfulness of women. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, departed from that temple. The Holy Spirit dwelt there, and to be near to God, you had to be near the temple. But the sin and selfishness of human beings was so great that the Lord eventually left the temple, and the peace of God left with it. But God began to make promises all throughout the prophets, and he says, I'm going to come again. I am going to build a temple. I'm going to dwell with my people. And he says, I'm going to call together all the people of all the nations that I scattered at Babel, and I'm going to bring them together into the temple of God. I'll bring mountains down and valleys high, he says. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to rebuild my temple. Jesus prophesied it straight out in his day. He said, in 3 days, I will tear down this temple. Talking about the literal temple. I'm going to tear it down. And in 3 days, I will rise it up. I will raise it up again. And so what happens after the death of Christ? What happens to the temple? The temple veil is torn in two, and that temple is torn down by Christ. And a new temple is formed. What is the new temple? So many are waiting for the temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem without realizing that Jesus has already rebuilt his temple, built on the prophets and the apostles with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the new temple of God. And that's what happens. Don't you see it? Do you see it here? Do you see what happens at Pentecost? Here, the Lord builds the church, which, by the way, means the gathered people who have been summoned. That's what the church means, the ecclesia. The gathered people who have been summoned. We have been summoned by Christ to be regathered, not scattered. And regathered with every tongue, every tribe, every ethnicity, every city, and every nation, dwelling together in love with Christ Jesus as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is what he did at Pentecost. He sent his Holy Spirit to begin the work of regathering his people, rebuilding his temple. And so he summons these gathered ones together. Don't you see what has happened here, people? Oh, don't you see? This gathering of those who have been summoned by Christ, they are now the new temple. The temple is made of a royal priesthood of believers. Do you remember that said in the scriptures that we are a royal priesthood? All of us, every believer in some way or another, is a priest unto God. Why did he do that? Because we are the temple, and he sends the Holy Spirit to gift us with gifts as the royal priesthood to minister in the temple. And so now the temple is going out, and he sends the temple out, scattered out and regathering all over the face of the planet. Go ye into all the world. This is saying temple, temple of God, go ye into all the world and gather together my people from among the nations. And the Holy Spirit, do you see? The priesthood is like a tapestry of love that is woven together by the Holy Spirit. The beautiful thing is he doesn't change our ethnicity. He doesn't change how we look, but he gathers us from each tribe, and there's this diversity that has one thing in common, and that is we have Jesus as our King. Oh, the beautiful diversity that is supposed to be in the church as all of this tapestry of God is pulled together from among the nations to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you see what's happened here? The Holy Spirit has returned to the temple. He is in you. He is in me. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're given gifts, as 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, to minister in the temple. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit so that we produce fruit. What is that all about? In the temple, the priests would provide food, the fruit of the temple for the poor and the marginalized and the outcast and the orphan and the widow. And so he produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us that produces this fruit to be given. Love, joy, peace, patience, all of those things to be given to the poor and the marginalized and the forgotten about and the orphan and the widow. And we go to them proclaiming the peace of God, inviting them to the temple. And so all over the planet right now, little temples are gathered together where the Spirit of God dwells with us. Did you not sense the Holy Spirit dwelling with us earlier? Do you not sense the Holy Spirit dwelling with us now? When you come to this table to feed on Christ, you come to feed and receive anew and be renewed in the Holy Spirit. This is a picture of the Holy Holies. Do you see? But you don't come in. We come out. The Holy Spirit comes out. The Lord comes out to feed his people. The fruits of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful story. Do we think like this? Do we realize who we are? Do we realize what God has done in us? Oh, church, any church that claims to be a church that is not filled with the Holy Spirit is not a church. I'll say that one more time. Any church that calls itself a church and does not preach Christ and is filled with the Holy Spirit is not a church. The church is where the Holy Spirit is. It's where Jesus is exalted. I don't know what that other stuff is called, but it's not church. And so we come into the presence of the Lord as a priesthood of believers to be renewed in the Holy Spirit, and we go out as priests unto our God to proclaim the gospel and to feed those who are hungry. Oh, Lord Jesus, don't take our lamp away. Lord Jesus, do not remove the Holy Spirit from us. Help us to keep proclaiming Jesus Christ and him crucified and him resurrected, him coming again, and the Holy Spirit filling the people of God, that we might minister as your church out of your temple, bringing the fruits of the gospel to a starving world. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Sing that. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Oh, amen. Amen. Let's stand together and recite.